Today's Veterans Radio program is dedicated to George Everett Bud Day, who was a United States Air Force colonel and pilot who served during World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. That included 5 years and 7 months as a prisoner of war of North Vietnam. He has passed away. This program is dedicated to him.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Bob Gould.
Oh, yes. Welcome this morning to Veterans Radio, another program originating from beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan at Fire Base Ann Arbor. Here we are, Fire Base Veterans Radio. That's right. And we're going to be coming today to the Yankee Air Museum. Yep, live today is the first of 2 days of thunder. Thunder over Michigan, the place that you want to be. Gosh, the weather is so beautiful. Bring the camera, bring the kids, come on out, see the airplanes, see the jets, see the Sky Raiders, see the Corsairs, the reenactors, the helicopters. I've got it all. No, I don't think I've got it all covered, folks, because you know what? Right now, we're going to cut to Dale Throneberry, my partner, over at the Yankee Air Museum. Dale, take it away and tell us what's going on.
You know, you guys really warned me when a jet's going to go through the hangar.
Well, you know.
Yeah, here we are.
Surprises.
I don't know what we're doing on a radio that is. Anyway, everybody, welcome to Veterans Radio, coming to you live from Thunder Over, Michigan at the Willow Run Airport in Ypsilanti, Michigan, outside of Belleville off 94. Really convenient for you to come to the program, and it's a great show. In the studio or in the hangar with me today, we've got Dan from WDEO, we've got Maria, we've got Suzette running around grabbing people to interview and taking pictures and getting stories. So we're going to have a great program, number of programs coming up in the next couple of months from the people that we've met here. It's just been fantastic. And I want to really give a shout-out to Brooke DeFata, who is with Herb Gillen Company down in Columbus, Ohio, running
Amen.
Public relations
Amen.
And
Amen.
Seeming to be running the whole program. This young lady has been everywhere.
You know what was... You know,
anytime you need it, she's
Dale,
there.
What was so impressive was that how organized... I mean, we've gone every year just about, and how well organized and family oriented it is. It's designed around a family experience. And that's not to say that guys can't come in there and have a good time too, right? But it's around a family experience. I was very impressed with what they did.
I want to encourage people to come out, even though they're missing the Thunderbirds or whatever it happens to be. There are some great planes here, some really impressive pilots. If you come out and see those stunt pilots, you won't believe what they can do with an airplane. Also, if you just want to get somebody to give you a historical perspective of the airplanes that you're looking at, when you come out, just grab one of the staff. I think they're in yellow shirts today, and these are the experts.
Oh,
and
they're
they
great.
They can tell you everything of. Everything about the plane. You can take rides on B-17s. You can take rides on, I think, B-24s, Huey helicopters. Everything is out here for you to come and come on down to Thunder Over, Michigan. I know we've got a full program, Bob, so I want to get into our first interview. And we do. I've got Terry Hollis, who is the tour manager for the Commemorative Air Force Red Tail Squadron, the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. And Terry, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, good morning. We're glad to be here.
So tell me how you got involved. Let's give a little background on the Tuskegee Airmen and the Red Tails, and then we can get into what you guys are doing.
Well, the Tuskegee Airmen, of course, they were the first black aviators. You know, they were the ones that the Army, back in the day, they didn't want these guys to succeed. They just said, we're not going to have it. We're not going to allow it. These guys, they just put them down every which way possible. And you have to put in perspective, you know, it was a different time. It was a different era. These guys just weren't treated good. Well, you know, time goes to show, you know, they proved them wrong that they could do the job and do it well.
We've had a number of Tuskegee Airmen on Veterans Radio, and I can't give you the dates, but Colonel Arm, Armstrong, I think his name is.
Could be.
He's from, well, anyway, I can't remember. I think that's what he's from Detroit, and he was a member of that Tuskegee Airmen, and we had him on, and he just told fantastic stories about not only their training but what they were able to accomplish when they were flying cover for the bombers. And their claim to fame was
that they had never lost a bomber.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, the guys, they'll tell you, you know, every once in a while you'll get guys say, you know what, we didn't lose a bomber that we know about. I said, but here's the thing, we couldn't control the ground fire, so we did lose some bombers to ground fire. He said, nobody can protect against that, you know. But, you know, they're just honest guys. They tell you the way it was, you know, and some of it's hilarious and some of it's not so funny, you know. Mm-hmm. But the point is everybody should understand what these guys went through.
I think they do, and that sounds like what you guys are doing with the Red Tail Squadron. What do you do? How'd you get started, and what is it that they do?
Well, what we have is it's a 53-foot exhibit, and, of course, it's a 15-minute documentary that we show during the air shows. It's a 39-foot curved screen, so when they do the flying scene, people get to understand what it's like to even ride in one of these planes. But it starts off, you know, it's got some black and white footage, it's got color footage, but overall it's the experience. That's the big thing. It's something you want to experience, because you can't see this show anywhere but in our exhibit. People mm-hmm. think that you can go to town and buy it. They just automatically assume that the term Red Tails, they get it kind of mixed up every once in a while with the George Lucas Hollywood version, and George Lucas himself come to see our show. The second day of operation, he was there. Cuba Gooding Jr. has come to see it. Some of the actors in the show, they've all come to see it because they understand that ours is the real deal, and it's not a Hollywood production. But and how we got started doing this was back years ago when these guys, they acquired the Mustang. Mm-hmm. It used to be a yard ornament for Montana State University.
Really?
Yes, that plane sat there gathering pigeons for a long time, and they said, you know what, we're going to do something to honor the Tuskegee Airmen, because at this time, these guys were constantly being left out, you know, just not forgotten about. And so they said, we're going to have this plane. We fixed it up and traveled around. And this plane, like 3 or 4 years worth of traveling, and they said, you know what, we've got to do something better. All we can do is go to air shows and airports. That's why they come up with a traveling exhibit, because we do school visits during the weekday when schools are in process. We'll go and spend a couple of days a week at schools and educate the kids, because a lot of this stuff is history that's just being left out. And kids can watch this, and they're going to learn something.
Where can they go to find out about your organization?
They can go to redtail.org.
Redtail.org. And do you have a Mustang here today?
We do. We have the P-51C model. That's a very rare plane. It's what some of these guys flew. And, of course, there again, we have people all the time, I thought they flew the D model. I said, C come before D.
I'm telling you, when you talk to these airplane experts out here, they know each model number, when it was built, when it was even ordered by the Army or the Air Force or whoever it happens to be. And so the experts are. So I encourage you. Mark, thanks so very much for being on Veterans Radio. We encourage you to come on down here to Thunder Over Michigan. Go to the Red Tail Squadron's exhibit. You're out on the main airstrip, aren't you?
Right in front of the FBO, actually.
There, FBO to our civilians, that's a what?
That would be a fixed base operation.
There you go. So, Mark, thank you very much. And, Bob, I'm going to throw it back to you. That's a Red Tail organization. It's redtail.org.
Wow, my heart's beating already because I was down there yesterday, folks. They've got everything. And, boy, if you don't come with a camera, you're going to kick yourself 20 times, man, because it's all there. I was standing right next to a Corsair. They are so beautiful. And when you look at the engineers and how they design the Corsair and how they design the P-51 Mustang, there was a little thing. You know why they put the gold wing, folks, in the Corsair, right? We see, hey, why did that happen? Because the propeller kept hitting the deck of the aircraft carrier on the prototype. So they put the gold wing in. This is what the guys told me. They got all this information. Who would have known? You see that, why they put the gold wing in there. Well, that's why they did. And so you can get all that information. They're like these gentlemen that are walking around in their yellow shirts are like docents. And, you know, a lot of times the kids go, oh, what's in this for me, man? Well, you can go in there and you can ask those questions. So over at the Yankee Air Museum, we're now going to get on with our regular programming. Right after this message, we're going to be talking with the Walmart folks. You're going to want to have your pencil, paper, crayon, ink pen, whatever. We're going to be right back with Walmart right after this very important message.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Dip, 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 dip,
Yeah, Get a Job by the Silhouettes. That's right, all you dudes out there to remember that. Well, you know what? We're all going to be out there. A lot of Vietnam veterans. You know that one, right, guys? Get a Job by the Silhouettes, and that's with Veterans Radio, one of our goals and what one of our institutions, one of our shining examples that we go out and we get this information for you. So today, we are going to be speaking with a large corporation. And I'll tell you what got me into this. About, 6 weeks ago, there was a little something in the paper, and it had about 100,000 jobs in 5 years going to be hired by Walmart. Hey, this has got to go on Veterans Radio, because this is where you, our listeners, want to hear. This is the stuff that you want for your cousins, for your nephews, for your nieces, for your brothers, etc., your neighbors. You want to get this information. Getting work for the veterans. I mean, what does it mean? I'll tell you what it means, guys and gals, and those of you that are veteran or that are business people out there, they show up. That's right, and they follow orders. Veterans show up, and they follow orders. And I think that's what you want, right, Mr. Human Resource Directors out there? So, with further ado, I want to read this before I introduce my first guest. And this is a quote from our first guest. The nation makes a huge investment in education and training for those who serve, and we know firsthand the value veterans and military families bring to our business. We seek transitioning military and veterans to help run our business because they are morally and ethically fit, quick learners, and team players with a record of performance. That comes from retired U.S. Army Brigadier General Gary Proffitt, Senior Director of Military Programs in Walmart. General Proffitt, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, Bob, thank you for the invitation and for the kind introduction.
I'm looking here at some facts that I was able to dig up, and it says that you have a 5-year, $10 million commitment to veteran employment and transition opportunities. This is coming directly from Bill Simon, the president of Walmart, and you're the one that is conducting that program. You're increasing your commitment to $20 million over 5 years. Why don't you start with that and tell us all about that?
Well, we know that Walmart can do two things as well or better than anyone else can do it. And the first thing we can do is we can offer career opportunities to veterans and military families. And the second thing we can do through our Walmart Foundation principally, and that's your reference to our $20 million commitment through 2015 now, is to try and address unmet needs that they face. And so our focus now principally is on transition and reintegration and education and training and workforce development. So we're pretty active on both of those fronts.
Now, folks, hear what the journal was saying. This is a corporation. Now, that was very important to talk about training. A lot of times sometimes these programs can just have a lot of veneer and there's not much behind it. You've got to be trained. Not that you're not trained in the service. You're trained to obey orders. You're trained to show up. You're trained to do your job. But here is a corporation that wants that, and not only that, they will train you. Tell us more about your training program.
Well, we when we launched the Veterans Welcome Home Commitment on Memorial Day with full implementation, Bob, there's a component of it that we call the Veteran Champion Program, which essentially provides a sponsor, a mentor, to each of those new veteran associates that come to us. And it's a fully, we think it's a full spectrum opportunity to onboard folks. In the first 6 weeks, when we know that the transition from uniformed service to another work environment is the most challenging. And then we have a commitment to their growth and development and opportunity throughout their time with us. And so we're pretty proud of that initial 6 week period, and we're also very proud of the opportunity that our folks have throughout the time they have in their Walmart careers.
You know, folks, and again, this is Bob, the commitment of Walmart to these factors is very important to all of us that are out looking for work, and I shouldn't say all of us, but all of those that are looking for work. However, it's that kind of commitment, that kind of understanding that there, we know coming back from the service, hey, I'm going to rest for a while. Well, there's just so much you can do. You got to have work. We're all defined by our work opportunities. So Walmart is familiar with this. They have implemented that in their program, and I'm very impressed with that. So let's continue on. Types of jobs. You know, oh, if I work at Walmart, I'm going to be a greeter. No, that's not the truth. General, you want to talk a little bit about the opportunities?
You bet. And we have them all the way from entry-level positions. We just got a tweet from one of our new veteran associates yesterday who wanted to take a position as a part-time cashier while he was going to school and accepting the benefits of the post-9/11 GI Bill. We also have associates that have joined us from military service who are running $200 million super centers. And so from across the entire spectrum of the opportunities that are represented by the 1.2 million Walmart associates in the United States and the 2.2 million that are across the world, we see veterans all the way from entry level to Bill Simon, who is the chief executive officer and president of Walmart U.S. and a Navy and Navy Reserve veteran.
And that the fact that you have in your program, you've thought this out enough and you've consulted with people to do it right, to do it the right way, to help these people along, to have their mentors, to make that transition. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what's going to make you very happy and proud when you go to apply. And by the way, how do they apply?
Well, we ask all of the folks to go to our military careers microsite, which is www.walmartcareerswithamission.com, and that enters them into what we think is a very military-friendly environment where they can, I think, simply and elegantly walk through the process. So that's what we ask people to do, and we think that's the way they'll have the best experience.
What a great thing to do this afternoon, Right? As you hear this broadcast, you're going to want to go to the one more time, www.walmartwithamission.com.
Walmart Careers with a mission.
I'm writing that down right now. And then where does that go from there? Do they contact somebody and they contact them back? How does that process work?
Well, actually, it's inside of our Veterans Welcome Home Commitment. With that technological beginning, if you will, there is a very high-touch component that we afford candidates the opportunity to talk to one of our career counselors and understand their aspirations, whether it be to find a job now or if they're a little bit older and more mature and have thought through their career aspirations to find a career. And then we can help them understand how their personal brand aligns with their aspirations and if they have to fill gaps, how to do that, and then how to offer that brand to to our company recruiters and hiring managers who value them so much.
Your commitment to the veterans, and we've always said this on Veterans Radio for the past 10 years, we've been talking about this, veterans helping veterans. Our former partner, God love him, Gary Lilly, used to say, what are you doing for a veteran today? And here we have that right now. We have that commitment from a corporation who recognizes veterans. Why don't you tell us, oh, by the way, it was founded by a veteran. Mr. Sam Walton was a veteran, God bless his soul. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, the veteran to veteran?
Yeah, I think you've just hit on something very important, Bob. We trace our military relationship at Walmart to Captain U.S. Army Sam Walton, who founded the company a little over 50 years ago. And importantly, we also count some 100,000 veterans as current associates with us. And equally importantly, we count another 150,000 who have who are from veteran and military families, and we don't want to leave them out of that equation because quite often financial security and stability today require two incomes, and we value them because they generally come to us with the same character as their uniformed spouse.
Well, they call this a segue in the business, so why don't we talk about the Military Family Promise Guarantee. Talk about that, General.
That you understand how to segue quite well, Bob. So let me just say that one of the ways that we want to turn jobs into careers for military spouses particularly is when their uniformed member is moved to another duty station, we want to try and keep them in the Walmart family by guaranteeing them a position at their current level in the new location. So we've actually been able to help people. I came across one spouse who had been able to stay with us for 17 or 18 years across multiple permanent changes of station, if you will. We called them PCSs, across the entire United States from, I think, Hawaii to Washington, D.C. So we think our corporate footprint allows us to do some things that maybe only we can do.
Since you're a veteran, General, what do you see in the similarities with the veterans of your experience and what is coming out of the military today? Why don't you talk about a little bit about that, about what are the qualities of a veteran?
Well, I think they have, and it's very interesting. I lived Army values for a little over 31 years, and when I arrived at Walmart and frankly accepted the position here, and learned about the three basic beliefs that are kind of the cornerstones of the, I guess four basic beliefs, I should say, that are the cornerstones of the Walmart culture. Respect, excellence, and service and integrity are the same kinds of words that I saw in Army values. And so you can really find a home here that doesn't require some kind of personal transformation. And I think importantly, those are the very qualities we see in veterans today and in veterans yesterday. And there's no difference there. And I think the one thing that's maybe a little different today than my generation even is these are young people who have volunteered when there was relative certainty that they were going to be deployed to a combat zone. And so these are people with a sense of purpose and dedication and real commitment to service that we find very important in our business, and they do very well when they join us.
Wow, couldn't have said it better myself. That's wonderful. There it is out there. That's the kind of thing that you want to hear. You know, it's behind the scenes when we at Veterans Radio can bring you the folks that are behind the forces that are involved so much with veterans today and the Walmart Corporation. Hey, folks, they did the homework, they did the research, and they've got the transition programs. I love this mentoring idea. So often, hey, I've been doing this. I don't know if I could go off into the civilian world. Nobody understands who I am. I can't talk to my family. But you've got a family. And in the Walmart situation, you have somebody that will help walk you through the process. So, all of you out there, Veterans Radio, Bob Gould, Dale Thronberry, Nina, all of us are saying to you veterans, I can't find work. Well, you know what? You can find work. You can also go to vajobs.gov, because I don't know anything about making a resume. Well, it's all there. Everything you need to know is right there, vajobs.org. And for Walmart, it's www.walmartcareerswithamission.com. WalmartCareersWithAMission.com. That says it all. Careers with a Mission. Well, we've got about 3 minutes, and I'd like to give that back to you, General, and tell us about the Walmart Challenge Coin.
Well, it's our way of making sure that our new veteran associates have something at the conclusion of their formal onboarding with which they'd be uniquely familiar. And a challenge coin has a special place, as you know, in the military, dating, best I can tell, to British Army heritage anyway. And we just thought that that was a way to kind of put a punctuation mark on their assimilation into a new environment. And so we present those to folks who have joined us under the Veterans Welcome Home Commitment as a symbol of that.
Well, I do have something. I did get a from your media folks, and I do definitely want to talk. Thank you to Diana G., the senior manager for National Media Relations of Walmart Corporation. But she did give me this little blurb this morning, and we're going to wrap it up with this, General, that, hey, folks, when you get the big people coming around, that means that's big stuff. These folks just don't show up at corporations, whatever, just because they love to travel. They're doing that for the veterans. They're doing that to get out that information for the veterans. And recently, U.S. Secretary for Veterans Affairs, yep, the man, Eric Krzyzewski, made a quick stop in Arkansas last week, and he talked jobs with Walmart's president, Bill Simon. Tell us about that, General. I'm very excited about that.
Well, I had the great privilege of being promoted to Brigadier General when General Krzyzewski was the Chief of Staff of the Army. And so I've known him for a number of years, and he had an occasion to come to Northwest Arkansas, and I think believe that he would be remiss if he didn't stop and talk about the work that we're doing and the opportunity to grow a larger and more robust public-private partnership to address the career interests of veterans. And so we had a real nice opportunity for him to talk with Bill Simon and then for us to have a nice conversation with him and his team about how we could work better together. And it was great to see him. And it was a real opportunity for us to take yet another step on that journey.
I know you folks have other things in the hopper. It's in the works. Could you just share very quickly? Can you just itemize very quickly what's going to be upcoming? And we'll have you on the program, of course, General. But what's upcoming?
Well, we think we need to work, and we're now working pretty diligently to try and have a conversation, a networking opportunity with veterans, with those who have made the decision to transition, but to do it before they separate and to help them far earlier than we're currently doing, and to do that in a large partnership with other organizations and throughout the public and and private sectors. And then we are very much in talks to build a talent exchange, because one of the things that we know is that everyone doesn't want to work in the retail industry and everyone doesn't want to work for Walmart. But we want to try and give them an additional look if that's their if their aspirations lie elsewhere with other companies who value them as much as we do. And so we're working pretty hard in those two ways, along with a number of other things, because as you might expect in the retail business, we all at Walmart are trying to find the next big idea, and so those are some things that we think might contribute to that.
Wow. That's well said. Absolutely. What a great way to go out. Once again, folks, you can go to www.walmartcareerswithamission.com. www.walmartcareerswithamission. I have been talking with General Prophet, who is the person responsible for all that. He would love to hear from you. So you could probably go there. Can they send you a little thank you, or my cousin or whatever? Can they contact you through that website?
That gets more difficult. I'll tell you what maybe I should do is have Diana give you the best way to do that.
I love it.
Because as you might guess, Bob, my time sometimes gets away from me, and I don't want to.
Oh no! When I said you, that was colloquialism for Walmart. I'm sorry. I should have.
Absolutely.
I don't think your wife would like that. No, to get all those emails and people calling. No, I wasn't referring to that.
No, absolutely through our website, and we have an important presence on Twitter and Facebook for those people that are involved in social media, and so please let us know how we can engage anyone who has interest in the work that we're doing. And I'm particularly sensitive, as you might know, to at least your listening audience, in the regard that I draw my roots from the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti area, and still have a brother and sister that live there. So your location and the Yankee Air Force and Museum have a special place in my heart.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program, and we'll have you back again. You have yourself a blessed day.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, that was Brigadier General retired Gary M. Prophet, Senior Director, Military Programs at Walmart. And if you want more information, www.walmartcareerswithamission.com. Right now, I'm going to throw it back to you, Dale, at the Yankee Air Museum. Take it away.
Thank you very much, Bob. I want to make sure that we get down to our break, because we want to do the Medal of Honor thing for Colonel Day. But I did want to remind everybody that Walmart also is involved here locally in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area with the Michigan Dog War Dog Memorial. They are providing landscaping and upkeep on that site, which is at the corner of 11 Mile and Milford Road in Lyons Township. It's Michigan War Dog Memorial. It's a great spot for all of you out there, all you dog lovers, just all you veteran lovers. You'd be amazed at this little memorial that's just on the corner of 11 Mile and 14 Mile, and I wanted to remind people that that is being kept up by Walmart. And, Bob, I'm going to go to a break here in just a second. When we come back, we are going to be talking with Dennis Norton, who is head of the Michigan Aerospace Foundation, and we're going to be talking about saving the Willow Run Bomber Plant. Those of you in the local area have seen the signs all over the place, Save the Bomber Plant, with Rosie the Riveter on the sign, and we're going to be talking about that when we come back. And then between that interview and our last interview, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some job programs that are out there. So, Bob, you can go to break.
Thank you, Dale. Take it away, Nina. Hit it.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Major Bud Day's F-100 took direct hits from ground fire, putting the plane in a steep dive. Details after this.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Dave from the crippled jet at 550 miles an hour. He broke his upper right arm, dislocated his left hip, was blinded in his right eye, and suffered a compound fracture of his right lower arm. He was captured upon landing, stripped to his shorts, and was imprisoned for 5 days before escaping. On his second day of freedom, a bomb went off nearby, causing bleeding and deafness in both ears and his sinuses. He continued his escape for nearly 3 weeks without food, water, or a weapon. Day was recaptured and transported to the Hanoi Hilton. There he was tortured daily for nearly 4 years and never gave any information to the enemy. He defied the North Vietnamese by leading his fellow POWs and singing the national anthem and holding religious services on Sundays. His mantra while a POW was, "Return with honor," which he did.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Yeah, we're back here on Veterans Radio, and we're going to be cutting very quickly to the Yankee Air Museum for their annual Thunder Over Michigan. And that was the Army Caissons Go Rolling, man. There's going to be some Army reenactors. They're going to do a World War II, and they're going to do a Vietnam War reenactment complete. They got an F-104. Yes, you want to see this thing. F-104, supersonic. Supersonic, and it's going to be flying. They have a Sabre jet, F-86 Sabre jets. They got some Skyhawks. Whew. Boy, and all that from the Yankee Air Museum. Dale, I'm going to throw this back to you because I know you have a very important guest. Take it away.
I do, and I just got a note from my important guest that there's also going to be an F-100 here. So we've got to pay attention. We're here at the Yankee Air Museum right now, broadcasting from inside their hangar, and we want to encourage people to come on down to the Thunder Over Michigan. I don't think you can see a finer collection of aircraft and actually individuals. These men and women that you're going to meet just walking around are going to be able to tell you amazing and great stories, so make sure that you do that. My guest right now is Dennis Norton, with an N, president of the Michigan Aerospace Foundation, and we're going to be talking about the Willow Run Bomber Plant. And Dennis, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
All right, Willow Run. Tell us a little bit about Willow Run. What's the big deal about this bomber plant?
The bomber plant and the airport were both built at the same time. They were built in anticipation of World War II. Roosevelt knew we were going to be into the war, so he got the auto companies, all the industrials around Detroit area that sooner or later became called the Arsenal of Democracy, brought them all together. Out of that came a lot of plants in Detroit, and one of them was Willow Run. The airport was built. The bomber plant was built in about 9 months. It was operational. The first airplane was brought in here and put together from Consolidated, actually, in early 1942. And from then on, Willow Run Bomber Plant became the most famous aircraft plant in the world. We produced 8,700 aircraft here before in about 2.5 years. By 1945, we were producing one bomber every 55 minutes.
55? Wow, that's even faster than I thought.
That is a fascinating story.
That's like faster than going to the Ford plant now and watching them build a car.
We couldn't do that today.
That's amazing. How big was the bomber plant?
The bomber plant was originally 3.5 million square feet. What it is right now is 5 million square feet. That includes additions that were put on by Kaiser after the war, and additions that were put on by General Motors. But the original plant was 3.5 million square feet, a huge plant. It was actually the largest manufacturing plant under one roof in the whole world when it was built.
How long was the production line itself?
Just about a mile long.
Mile. We just want to remember, Suzette Dexter, who's working with us today, has got me some information here. We were trying to figure out who's been here to Willow Run in the past. We have Charles Lindbergh was here, Jeanette McDonald, Jimmy Stewart, of course, the vice president, president, senators, and, of course, the secretary of defense. And Henry and Edward Ford actually gave Franklin Roosevelt a guided tour of the plant when it opened back in 1942, did you say?
Plant opened in early 42, yes.
Right. And that's just amazing about all these people that were involved. So the issue right now is that all that history of the Arsenal of Democracy and so forth is that the bomber plant, the original bomber plant, is to be demolished at some point. Somebody bought it, and he wants to demolish all of it, but you want to save it.
We do, and actually the people that own it right now is a Racer Trust. That was a trust formed out of the General Motors bankruptcy. Racer Trust is tasked with are getting rid of all the buildings, trying to repurpose them. Mm-hmm. And if they can't repurpose them and sell them, their job is to clean them up environmentally, demolish the buildings, and have the land be available for development.
Okay.
And that's where we're at Will Run here. They've been trying for a couple years to repurpose the building to find people that could use it. But at 5 million square feet and built in 1942, it is too big, too old. It just is not usable for modern-day manufacturing. So at this point in time, their plans are to demolish it, and they've given us a certain period of time to try and raise money to save roughly 175,000 square feet of the 5 million square feet. So what we're trying to save is not a very big piece, mm-hmm. but it's a very significant piece because it's where the bombers rolled out of the plant. The two big doors where every one of those 8,700 bombers rolled out in 2.5 years. That's the piece we're trying to save.
It's just I heard the story that the assembly line went a certain distance and then did a 90-degree turn, and then that's where the planes came out, and that's the piece that you're trying to save.
That is correct. The 90-degree turn, the planes were originally going to roll out of two doors at the eastern end of the production line, but they would have rolled out into Wayne County. And Wayne County wanted to put personal property tax on them. Henry Ford said, I'm not going to do that. So he turned the plant 90 degrees, put turntables in there, and turned the two lines 90 degrees, built two more doors on the southern end of the plant, and they rolled out in Washington County where they were not taxed.
County government trying to get money wherever they can get it, even during a war. That's
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Ford Motor Company took them out of the plant, and they test flew them, and then you turned them over to the Army. The Army had a base on the east side of Willow Run Airport.
Okay.
So once they were turned over to the Army could tax them into Wayne County on the east side of the airport, and they weren't taxed.
Oh, that's the reason how we get around.
Fascinating story.
I think that's really cool.
Dale.
Yes, Bob?
Yeah, this is Bob. I have a quick question of our guest. I know that many of the buildings were built from wood that they harvested literally from the site, put up a wood mill and made timbers and beams and things. Was this section that you're looking to preserve, was that also wood?
No, the Willow Run Bomber Plant was actually designed by the Albert Kahn Company. They're still in business today, but Albert Kahn was the architect that actually designed the plant. That's all brick and steel. The wood buildings were all on the Army side, on the east side of the airport. They were the hangars, the support buildings, the barracks. They were all made out of wood, but the manufacturing plant was actually brick and steel. It is very strong plant.
Good. So we want to make sure we keep that.
That's great.
And so you have set up a program called SaveTheBomberPlant.org,
mm-hmm.
correct?
That's correct.
And so what do we need? How do we go about getting you the money to do this, and how much do we need?
Well, first of all, we encourage people to go to our website. The website is SaveTheBomberPlant.org, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. SaveTheBomberPlant.org. That'll explain the whole story. It tells about the plant, what we're trying to do, the piece we're trying to save. We have raised roughly, I should put it this way, we have $3.5 million left to raise by August 1st. October 1st. October 1st. Originally, deadline was August 1st. And we passed that. We did well enough that we got an extension to October 1st. We have $3.5 million to go out of the original $8 million. So we're doing very well.
Well, I strongly encourage all of our listeners to go out there and go to SaveTheBomberPlant.org, make your donation. We're going to talk to some of our corporate people that we've just been introduced to and see what we can do to help you meet that goal. I think it's so important to save the history as you've done. And, I encourage everybody to come on out to the Thunder Over Michigan. If you can't make it this weekend, come on out to the Yankee Air Museum. It's a fascinating trip into history. It takes about... Well, depending on how detailed you want to get, anywhere from an hour to all day. And the people will just are wonderful in supporting and telling the stories, and I encourage you to come on out. And, Dennis, I want to thank you and wish you the best of luck with Save the Bomber Plant. And go to SaveTheBomberPlant.org. I think there's a Rosie the Riveter walking around here on the grounds today, so we'll make sure that we get our donations out there. So we'll put that up on our website later on, Save the Bomber Plant. Dennis, Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. Thanks for being on Veterans Radio.
Thank you. We need to save this history.
We absolutely do. Bob, back to you.
Thank you, Dale. From Firebase. Firebase Veterans Radio right here at WDEO. Nina.
You're listening to Veterans Radio, broadcasting from our flagship station, WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor. Also broadcasting through WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, WDEO 98.5 FM in Naples, and online at AveMaria.net.
Yeah, that should get you in the mood right now to fill up the gas in the car and get yourself headed down to the Yankee Air Museum at the Willow Run Airport in beautiful Ypsilanti, Michigan. What a great day you're going to have. Bring the film. Bring the family. Thunder over Michigan. Wow. Whew. It actually, I'm, you know, listening to all this, Dale, all these folks and talking about it and being there yesterday, I'm going to be there right after the program. So I will see you, and I got to see this F-100. Yes, because I saw that in the movie, The Right Stuff. That's what General Yeager was flying when he got. Remember when he crashed, and this was a very aircraft that was prepared by the Air Force. So it's very important you'll be able to see that. And I do want to say one thing very quickly. What I learned from those guys in the yellow T-shirts, and we were talking about the Mustang. And for years, I have watched the black and white film on the military channel when they fly the Mustangs from England to support the bombers, and they would drop the fuel tanks. And I would always think, what a waste of money. They would drop these huge tanks. Well, it wasn't. No, they made them out of paper mache. Who knew that? With rubber in the interior, paper mache on the outside. And when I asked, well, why did we do that? And he said, because they didn't want the metal to get in the hands of the Germans. Now, that's a little
that's
something.
Right.
You know what? You take that to a bar, and I'll bet you get a beer. I'll bet you win a beer. Dale, take it away.
Well, we are back here. We're inside the hangar here at the Yankee Air Museum waiting for our next guest to come. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about the jobs programs that you were mentioning with General Profit. And, Walmart's not the only one that is out there. And I know that at some point we're going to have the people from Quicken Loans on talking about their veterans hiring program. And there is another program that I found while we were getting ready for the program. It's called 100,000jobsmission.com. And this is a site that is, again, dedicated to providing veterans jobs. And there must be, 50 companies listing here, ranging from 7-Eleven to DuPont to Ernst & Young to Deloitte, Coca-Cola, Kroger, Johnson Controls, all kinds of things. So, as you mentioned earlier, there are jobs out there to be had, and it's up to you men and women to start, use your skills and start, searching the Internet. I'm sure that you all are, but there are places, and we'll try to get these places up on our site so that you can find them. Great places for jobs.
And Dale, I know that you'll agree with me because you and I have talked about this before. But it's not only that they have a program. When you're looking at these corporations, folks, let's be honest. It's not only we don't want something window dressing. And in talking with General Profit and their commitment to retain the talent and to hire, I'm going to read this right off: hire, grow, and develop. Wow. That's really what it's all about. You've got that commitment, and that is what, folks, you want to look for. You want to do your research. You want to be sure that there's something backing the whole program up. Oh, boy. How about that, Dale? And you can always join the service again. Re-up.
Yeah, right. They're going to call us again. I want to kind of go through, as I said, while we're waiting, to just talk about some of the places that I found jobs. One was at Chase Military. This is a Chase Bank Spot website. Again, that's hooked up to that 100,000 job. All of these people are out there. They're looking for talented men and women, not just, as you mentioned earlier, to be greeters and so forth. They're looking for IT people. They're looking for business, you know, people, they're looking for salespeople, everything. There are all kinds of different jobs out there. So really, you know, let's get on a stick and do that. And I want to go through and talk a little bit. Yes, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you and I have talked. What's the number one thing? You and I have said it. They show up. Veterans show up.
They show up. And I think that it's so, I don't want anybody to take this as a whiny thing, but, you know, the business community is so being so proactive here, unlike what they've been in the past. And I think that this is really important. And I think that they realize that these men and women volunteered to be in the military. They weren't drafted. They weren't dragged into the service. And I think we have to remember that we need to give them a step up, and as far as finding jobs and finding careers and being able to meld back into the civilian community.
And I think it's very important, too, when you have veterans helping veterans, in the case of Walmart.
Oh, absolutely.
When you have a General Profit and the folks that are veterans, because they understand that, they know that so often. And, again, this is not a knock on a lot of human resource departments. They're not veterans. They really haven't studied veterans, what it means to be a vet, what it means to be serving your military, whether you're in war or not in war, walking guard on a lonely vehicle out there in Kansas, as I did many, many times, and we all did our job. And so I think it's very important, too, when you're doing your research out there, folks, you want to look, if you can, find out how many veterans are involved. Because sometimes human resource people, they go, yeah, this is great, but they don't have that little extra fervor that it takes to make these things very successful, like we heard today.
Right. Well, I think it's really important for people to remember that. We're out here today at the Yankee Air Museum for Thunder Over Michigan, and we encourage people to come on out. I just want to kind of go through the list. The shows are going to start at 10:30 out here, and you're going to get an opportunity to see, as Bob mentioned before, the F-100 Super Sabre Jets, Skyhawks, Sky Raiders, Hueys, the world's top acrobatic performer, Sean Tucker. And when you see this guy, he's in a biplane. You will not believe what they're capable of doing. These guys have death wishes.
He's crazy.
And they go up to about 1,500 feet, and he stalls out, and the aircraft doesn't go into a dive. It flips end over end for about 200 feet before it comes back, and I don't know. And they got smoke all over the place, and he cuts a ribbon with my hands are going nuts here, with the wing of the airplane. He comes down to probably, he can't be more than 25 feet off the ground, and he turns the aircraft 90 degrees, so his wing is maybe 2 feet off the ground, and he flies through and cuts this ribbon between two posts, and then he goes upside down, and he continues along at about 20 feet off the ground.
You know,
it took my breath away.
Yesterday, yes. Oh, there's so many things that you see during the show, folks, the quote show on when they have the performers come out. Yesterday, you were there when that F-104, what was that, about 50 feet off the deck, and he kicked in those afterburners right in front of everybody. Boom. I mean, if that doesn't, that gets you all the way down to the toenails, man. Boom. And he roared past folks, right past the review, and then cut it off. So, you know, like bam and boom. And I mean, he was, I know it was faster than the speed of sound. So it had to be at least Mach 1 something.
It's just amazing. And these planes are being maintained by civilians. These are individuals or individual groups that are refurbishing these airplanes. They look better than new. Again, when you take a tour, if you come out here today or tomorrow, you're going to have somebody that can tell you all about the aircraft, the history of the aircraft.
All the aircraft.
They're going to have, they got these Screaming Rebel T-6. These T-6s were, they have an air intake. And what happens is when they go into a dive, there's an opening, and it starts to scream almost. It's like a big, loud whistle. And when they would go into their bomb runs against the bad guys, wherever it was, they would hear this sound coming down, and they knew that their world was about to be changed dramatically.
Here was a little something.
I think people are going to...
For our Vietnam vets especially, the Sky Raider is a propeller. Oh, wow, that thing is just so slow. It was supposed to be. It was supposed to be. I'm trying to think of the word that my docent, the guy who was helping me, told me what he called it. He didn't call it quite a stall, but the Sky Raider could come over the target and slow down enough we can shoot bullets. You know, you go over too fast, you're going to maybe miss your target. And that was why it was so important for the Sky Raider in the Korean War and in the Vietnam War to be a support for troops. And the same thing with the Corsair.
One of the things that...
It's the same thing with the Corsair.
One of the things that they use that... Yeah, I know. One of the things that they used with the Sky Raider was they used it as a forward observation platform. They would go out low and slow over the, in this case, over the Ho Chi Minh Trail to spot things and so forth, but then they had a little bit better capability of getting away rather than a bird dog or, a Cessna. And I'm trying to remember the name of the program. I think it was Bury Us Upside Down or... I think it was called Bury Us Upside Down, and it was all about these guys that were flying along the Ho Chi Minh Trail with these Sky Raiders. And, yeah, you're going to get an opportunity to talk to people that actually did those things. We're going to be talking with helicopter pilots. Hopefully, if they ever show up. If not, I'll just fill you in on what we were able to do yesterday on the helicopters, which, of course, is my love. And they're there. And
you look so natural sitting in that pilot seat. Folks, you may not know this.
I love it.
Dale, combat pilot. Yeah, we're not talking any wimps around here, folks. Dale, combat pilot.
Well,
195th Assault Group. Don't let the guy... old toe in the sand, Dale. This guy's the real deal. Dale Throwberry, and I saw him sitting in the pilot seat. Man, it was just like you were sitting down at the dinner table.
It was, but it was a little bit harder to get into the seat than it used to be.
Well, you put on a few pounds, maybe. So folks can do that, though. They can sit in these aircraft. They can talk with...
Yes.
They can talk with, and when you say civilians, that just means the military guys are civilians now. So many of those that work on the airplane,
right,
that are the docents, that are the yellow shirts that we call them, that are going to be out there today, are military people. And they're folks that's what they do all the time. They study this stuff. They talk about their planes. They talk about the reenactors. Whoa, so real. One of them, had 101st Airborne Flag. All right. And it was so exciting to see these reenactors from World War II and all the work that they do. Wow. We only got a couple minutes, man.
I know. That's all we got left. We went over and we talked to the reenactors, but they were going to have an inspection. And so
no.
We couldn't get them on the air.
Oh, don't you remember the first...
Most apologetic.
Do you remember the first week in the Army? We're going to have a party. Oh, we're going to have a GI party this weekend. Writing home, dear Mom and Dad, this is really wonderful. We're having a party this weekend. And those of you that are smiling, you know what that party was.
What was the young man's name? Dylan?
Dylan, yeah, Beckel.
Yeah, Dylan. Anyway, Dylan, he's the one who got his grandfather involved with the reenactors.
His grandfather wasn't
in the service. He's a retired policeman, but they're all involved in this. And this is another thing that's all set up here at the Thunder Over Michigan, folks, and I strongly encourage all those people within 100 miles of Willow Run, come on down.
Come on.
This is a great program. You don't want to miss it.
And
plus, you're going to be supporting the Yankee Air Museum. Make sure you get your funds over to the Save the Bomber plant. These people are doing yeoman's work in trying to solve the world, and not to solve the world, but to save our history, as they say. So I know that, Bob, we're running out of time.
My car's warming up. I'm out of here. 5:05, I'm out. I'll be over. I'll see you before 11. We'll have lunch.
Okay, Bob.
And by the way, that's all available. They even have a beer tent this year, so you can have a beer. It is right on the runway. You can watch all the action. Whoa. Okay, Dale. God bless.
All right, Bob.
You in just a little bit. Thanks, Suzette. And thanks, Maria. Thank everybody out there for inviting us to be at Veterans Radio. Woo. Wow. Next.
We have an audience here, too, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, and thank Dan. Dan, thank you very much. We're here at Firebase WDEO Veterans Radio 3-2-1. You listen to Veterans Radio, you're dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.